بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, in last night's Taraweeh we had commenced with Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the first of the Madani surahs that we recite in the Quran. And we find the surahs of the Quran are divided into these two distinct groups. One is the Makki surahs, which according to the preferred view refers to those surahs whose verses or the majority of the verses were revealed prior to the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we have the Madani verses or the Madani surahs whose verses or the majority of the verses were revealed after the hijrat to Madinah Munawwara. In other words, the Makki surahs will be within the first 12 to 13 years of Islam, and the Madani surahs will be during the last 10 years of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though we may find these Madani surahs at times, the verse may have been revealed in Makkah Mukarrama itself. As an example, on the occasion of Fath Makkah, or on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, the final Hajj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, verses were revealed to him in Makkah Mukarrama. But because this was after the Hijrah, in other words, after the 12th or 13th year of Islam, we find that these verses and surahs will still be classified as Madani surahs. Thereafter, Mufassirin explain the difference between the Makki and Madani surahs is very distinct as far as the content is concerned. We find the Makki surahs generally will focus on discussions pertaining to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, logical proofs against shirk, against polytheism, against associating partners with Allah, discussions pertaining to nubuwat, prophethood of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and very often discussions pertaining to the akhirah, to the hereafter. And the reason for this is very clear. In the early days of Islam, in the first few years, in the Meccan period, we find the effort primarily was upon making the iman of the sahaba, to strengthen their hearts, to strengthen their iman, belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was not really a great need for ahkam, laws and injunctions. Therefore, the Makki surahs we find comprise of these type of verses. The Madani surahs, on the other hand, like Surah Al-Baqarah, comprise generally of various ahkam, laws, injunctions, do's and don'ts. We find in Madinah Munawwara, this was now a community, a society that was set up by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore there was a need now for laws and rules that would allow that society to become a harmonious and united society. Nevertheless, in the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, although this was recited last night, but a very, very important discussion we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to the reaction when the Quran Sharif is presented to somebody. And here three very distinct categories Allah mentions. In two verses, Allah speaks about the first group of people. And basically these are what we would call the believers, those who embrace, accept and believe in the Quran. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Allah speaks about them, their qualities, and Allah then mentions their outcome. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ That this first group who will believe in the Qur'an, who will embrace the Qur'an, who will accept the Qur'an, these are the people who will be successful. Two verses are dedicated to this group. Thereafter, two more verses, Allah speaks about the second group as far as the Qur'an is concerned. And that is the group who are the clear and outright disbelievers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Though they totally reject the Qur'an, they do not accept the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Regarding them, Allah says, there is no difference whether you warn them, whether you try to reason with them. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ Their end result is they will face a grave punishment in the hereafter. So two verses speaking about the believers, two verses speaking about the disbelievers. And then very interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out 12 verses speaking about the third group, which are the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. 12 verses are dedicated to mentioning them and their qualities. The second two pages and the second ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah dedicated to speaking about the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. And the reason behind this, Mufassirin explain, is so that the reader of Quran can introspect and see, do I fall under this category of munafiq or not? Do I have hypocrisy within my heart or not? Time doesn't permit us to read the details and the features and the attributes of these people. But one quality that is highlighted is that these people, on surface level, they are prepared to accept. When the going is smooth, when it is smooth sailing, it is easy. then they are happy to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment things become difficult and tough, and things are not to their liking, then immediately they reject and they question the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So 12 verses that Allah dedicates to these munafiqeen. Again, the theme that is being shown here is that they do not submit to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, moving on, we come to verse 67 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is known as the Wajhut Tasmiyah, or the reason by which this particular surah was named. And we know Surah Al-Baqarah, Baqarah in the Arabic language, refers to a cow or a calf. And here, a very lengthy incident, very briefly we will mention. In the time of the Bani Israel, there was a wealthy person who did not have any offspring, any children, and had no heirs apart from a very distant relative of his. This relative of his was a poor person. So one day he thought to himself that, let me hasten my inheritance, let me take the life of this family member of mine. He goes to him, he takes his life, and then he takes his corpse and he leaves it on the side of the road, the pathway. And then he comes to Nabi Musa alayhi salam very innocently, and he says, "Oh Nabi Musa, my relative has been murdered, his life has been taken, and you claim to be the Nabi of Allah. Why don't you ask Allah to show us who is the killer, who is the murderer, so that I can exact my retribution, my revenge?" From here we can understand this person was a munafiq, he was a hypocrite. If he had true iman, he would have known that he would be caught out. Nevertheless, very lengthy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to go and find a calf and slaughter this calf. And then, and thereafter, the identity of the murderer will be revealed to them. But here again we find nifaq and hypocrisy, because they are reluctant to agree and to go ahead with this command of Allah. They know that it's going to cost them a sum of money, so they try to procrastinate. They begin asking questions that, "Oh Musa, what type of cow must we find? What color must it be? What type of hide and skin does it have?" And the more they ask these questions, the tighter and tighter Allah makes it upon them, until eventually there is only one such calf that they can find in the locality, which matches the description that Allah wants. There is an old lady who is the owner of this calf. When she realizes their predicament, she then increases the price of this particular calf, and they end up paying a very absurd amount, but they are forced to do this. How did they get to this point? Because they questioned the decree and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the theme is continued in Surah Al-Baqarah, for us to submit to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will question and will go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is when things will become tight and difficult upon him. Time again has run out. Just one more verse, or rather one more incident, which we heard in tonight's Taraweeh, at the end of the second juz. A very amazing story and incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again we speak about the Bani Israel, but here, some time after the demise of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, there was a Nabi that was ruling over, or rather that was sent to these people. Mufassirin have mentioned different names for this particular Nabi. But what is important, the Bani Israel, after the demise of Musa alayhi salam, they began slowly moving away from his teachings and the teachings of the Torah. And as a result of this, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to suffer various military losses. Their neighbors around them begin to inflict heavy defeats and losses upon them. These people then come to the Nabi of the time, and they request from him that, "Why don't you appoint some leader over us who will take us in the path of Allah in jihad?" So this Nabi cautions them that this is a very serious request you are making. "Hal asaytum in kutiba alaykumul qitalu alla tuqatilu." Perhaps if your request is acceded to, then you may become weak and you will not go in the path of Allah. But these people insist that, "Listen, we are motivated. We have lost our property, our wealth, our women and children have been killed, and we are suffering these losses on a daily basis. We now need a leader who will take us in the path of Allah." But because of their weak iman, when a leader is appointed over them, فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ تَوَلَّوا, these people then turn away and they do not go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the leader? There is a person by the name of Talut. Talut, according to Mufassirin, was an ordinary person, a layman. He was a farmer, according to some narrations. He was not from a noble lineage, but Allah had chosen him to lead the Bani Israel. They were unhappy with this. They complained, they questioned the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it's a very, very lengthy incident, but we come right to the end. Talut takes an army, he prepares an army of the Bani Israel. Some narrations mention 80,000 in number. And then a test is put in front of them as they are traversing or as they are en route to their destination, they come across a river. And here Talut cautions them that Allah does not permit you to drink from this river. If you will drink, then you will remain thirsty and you will not be allowed to accompany me. But these people do not listen. Many of them then drink from that river. Many of them, before even reaching this point, they become disillusioned and they turn away. 80,000 they started off with. Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, a great sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says on the day of Badr, sahaba we know were 313 in number. He says, we would discuss amongst ourselves that the army of Talut was reduced to our number. In other words, just 300 men. From 80,000, just 300 who had true and firm iman. He goes forth with them, and then that fear comes into the heart, that how are we going to defeat the enemy? And the enemy was a very large army, very strong army. And this is the point that I'm making, this verse on the last page of the second juz. Some person then calls out and motivates the army, and he says, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That how many times have we seen in history that a group that is small in number dominates and overpowers a group that is large in number with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are steadfast. And this we can see, my dear brothers, playing out right in front of us in today's time. In Gaza, in Palestine, what news reporters are describing as a ragtag army, an army with homemade bombs, homemade equipment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the strength of iman, and Allah has assisted them that till now they are inflicting losses upon the enemy. This is the lesson for us in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with the means, without the means, Allah does against the means also. So a person should never ever look at number, at military power or strength. Rather, what is the criteria for success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person has firm and true iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is when success and victory will come. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.